Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Do you have battle toads?
You do? Well, you better go catch it.
Lore Boys here, and I'm starting off with a nice big confidence boost from my buddy Ethan here.
Oh boy, you biffed saying the word confidence there, though, huh? I got a lot of this confidence. Confidence.
Yeah. I'm not used to saying that one. Yeah. Well, hi, I'm James. I'm here with the Lore Boys, and I'm joined with
Ethan Palmer.
Peter O'Donohue.
Cool.
Should we harmonize? Should we do all three at the same time?
Ethan.
Peter.
Jamie.
Jamie. And many more.
I've been watching some of The Office, and that fucking guy who was always trying to do the harmonizing is so cringe, man.
Ed Helms, is it?
Yeah.
I have seen maybe 10 episodes of that show from... probably 10 individual seasons, if there's even that many.
It's easier just to leave on and do some Diablo dungeons and stuff. But
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, let's get started. And our story starts off in the year 1990, when we were still swimming around in our dad's sacks.
Yep.
Yeah, we were. Mm-hmm. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were at the absolute peak of their popularity.
Cowabunga!
Yeah.
I'm trying to think here. In 1990, because I was born in June, September, October, November, December, and October, I was definitely legit swimming around in there somewhere.
It would have been, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. In 1990.
Quick maths, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Jamie, not so much. You're a January nut.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have been around New Year's, the Christmas range for me.
The New Year's nut.
Yeah, that's me.
That's Jamie.
My dad saved it up for No Nut December, and there I am.
Yeah.
Strong swimmer.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, they're super popular right now. It's 1990. They have an animated series going into their third season, bringing in millions of viewers. The most popular boys toy line on the market. They have that. They have breakfast cereals, frozen pizzas, video games. The world belonged to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Well, how do we capitalize this on even more?
Well, their success led to a lot of copycat cartoons because they saw, hey, turtles eating pizza could do it. Why can't we do it?
Why can't sharks
samurai cats do it?
Sharks living on the street, if you will.
Yep. Yep, so some of these games are Samurai Pizza Cats, Street Sharks are the first two I had on my list. Way to go, boys.
SWAT Cats is another one.
Which one?
SWAT Cats.
Never heard of it.
They're cats, but they're SWAT. That's it. So like when there's a when there's a hostage situation in what I presumably would call New Cat City, because they all live in a city like that, but it's real but cat themed.
Yeah.
They probably get called in when there's when there's a kid playing Fortnite and you lose to him, you call the SWAT cats.
Yeah. when your favorite streamer is yelling at people on the internet, you call SWAT cats. Yeah.
They charge in and knock your Nalgene off the table of the wall looking at you. And mark your couches and all the rest of it.
Oh yeah, they come in, scratch up the furniture.
Yeah.
Tell you that the couch was threatening them, so they're justified.
Well, no, they wouldn't. See, this is the problem with SWAT cats. They wouldn't just barge in. They'd stand at the door and meow, right?
they
make you get up, and then you'd open the door for them to SWAT you, and they'd just stand there, kind of looking at you, like making you feel like you're the idiot, not understanding what they want. But
There's a hostage situation in here. I have a gun pointed to my wife and daughter's heads.
I care. Whatever.
I'll kill them.
Right, but it's cold out there. You're not gonna like it.
So Samurai Pizza Cats was one that I didn't know that I knew it, but when I looked at pictures of it, I was like, oh yeah, I remember that from my childhood. Street sharks. So you have like the hammerhead, you have all like a few different types of sharks. Their faces are just like way too big on the bottom of their shark bodies. And they walk around like.
But he might have had some street sharks toys. And even as a child, I can remember those things suck dick. They were like, they were made of like flexible rubber so you could bite with them to make the, so it's like not a solid action figure. It was like super flexible. Sure. But like even when we were playing with them in the early 90s, the rubber would dry out so quickly that all of them had like basically crow's feet cracked through the rubber. Yeah, it was awful.
Yeah. Another one is Extreme Dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah.
You know that one? I didn't know
that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That one has a... I mean, they all kind of have a kick-ass theme song, but I remember the Extreme Dinosaurs one. Do you have Mummies Alive there?
Mummies Alive is on the list, and I love that one. It's such a cool fucking theme song, too.
For the record, I haven't seen any of these shows.
Oh, no.
I know of the existence of Street Sharks, and I think I've heard of Mummies Alive, but every other one you mentioned, like, poof.
Mice from Mars?
Yeah.
Sounds familiar, but I feel like some mathcore band I listen to has a song called Biker Mice from Mars or something like that as an homage to it.
Probably. You know? Yeah.
Avenger Penguins, not affiliated with Marvel.
Pardon me.
Avenger Penguins.
Are they affiliated with the Penguin Publishing House? Or
I got a JB pull up the clip. This one,
sure.
Avenger Penguins. Like they can't even. they're so inflexible. You know, they're so rigid. Penguins.
Wait a second. I recognize this. I've seen the opening sequence to this. This looks really fucking stupid.
Can you describe a little bit for us? Because it doesn't bring a picture to mind.
Pay me a picture with your words, Pete.
Yeah. So there's three penguins. I guess they're like a biker gang because there's a fat one who wears kind of like a Russian cosmonaut helmet instead of a bike helmet. And he's riding basically like a Vespa for a fat guy. So it's got like the really tall handles.
Okay.
There's a little guy.
I think the tall handles are for fat guys, but go on.
But like, that's what you think of, right? Like he's got to get them out of the way of his gut. It's cartoon character. Whatever.
Gotcha.
There's a little one who is wearing like a Kaiser helm with a spike on top of it, but it goes down and covers his eyes. He's driving like a more traditional chopper with like six pipes that probably shoot out fire. And there's the lead guy who's got a kerchief, a jean jacket vest, and like a sailor captain's hat. And he's riding just a regular motorbike.
These are like the Royal Cola to the Coca-Cola. Like these are all the off-brand shoots that just were not quite as successful.
It's like the butter, this isn't it sort of thing. Subreddit.
President's choice. The choice of people who can't afford very much.
Yeah.
Not even Coca-Cola.
The next one made me chuckle. It's Wild West COW, Boys of Moo Mesa.
It's cows instead of Moo Mesa.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Stone Protectors. I didn't see a picture of that one.
What?
That's like a working title that they just never came up with anything better. They just like ran out of budget. All the writers left. They're like, "What do we call it? Just whatever it says on the script."
This looks vastly worse than the Penguin one.
Avenger Penguins.
Yeah, it looks like. It looks like dollar store knockoff, like troll dolls, but if they were buff guys.
Okay. Are they made of stone? Or
no, they're like trolls. They're all
protect the stones.
Yeah, they're all. I guess they're dwarves or something.
Were
yeah,
they the
stone protector?
Were they the ones that protected our dad's stones that we were swimming around in?
God willing. I mean, they look like they can get the job done. One of them just looks like Guile from Street Fighter, and another guy looks like. He's wearing a leotard of Cyclops from the X-Men cartoon.
Sounds uncomfortable.
Yeah.
This next one I remember, but maybe it's because we're Canadian and hockey is popular here. Mighty Ducks, the animated series.
Yeah, because that show ruled.
Yeah. Is that a TMNT clone?
According to this, it was like based. It was on the tales of TMNT.
Sure. Yeah, I've heard of it. I think I saw the. Was there an animated movie? because I may have seen that at my good friend Ben Allen's house when I was in grade two or something.
There were live action movies for sure, but you know,
yeah, I'm wondering if there was like an animated, and I'm willing to bet there was a straight to VHS animated movie.
Oh yeah,
based on the TV show.
Do you have gargoyles there? My mom loves that show.
I did not write gargoyles down, but it came up in my research. Yeah,
yeah.
I watched that one too.
I wonder if that's on Disney Plus. If it is, I should rewatch that.
I learned something about gargoyles the other day. There's like gargoyles like have to be made out of stone, or else they're not gargoyles.
Gargoyles have to have a water spout coming out of their mouth.
That's it. Good.
If they don't, it's called a grotesque.
Thank you, Ethan, for reading the same Reddit pages as I do.
Your animal fact for the day.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
That's interesting.
Next up is Bucky O'Hare and the Toad Wars.
Okay.
Seems
specific.
I don't know that one, but it was on the top list.
Bucky O'Hare and the Toad Wars. Man, Jamie is pulling up a lot of clips right now.
What's the lore boys title that kind of capitalizes on the TMNT cash cow? Like if we were instead of a podcast, early 1990s TV show, what would we be called?
Okay, well, two of us would be animals, and Ethan, because you're blonde, would be the human sidekick character.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah,
you're our April O'Neil.
I'd be the one constantly getting myself in peril, so you guys would have someone to save, right?
Yeah.
I'm good at that.
Mighty Morphin wiki readers. I don't
know. Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I like that one. I don't know. It could be like, it could just be like Extreme Ethan and the Lore Lads.
So the last two that I have on my list, or last three, I should say, is Mummies Alive, The Cheetah Men. But last and not least is Battle Toads, which is the topic for today.
Oh, how fun.
I thought we were doing TMNT. That's interesting. Okay.
No, when he said spinoffs, I was like, okay, we're doing one of the spinoffs then, right?
Yeah. I thought it was just a fun aside with silly titles. I am looking at Bucky O'Hare, though. He is a awful, awful looking green cartoon rabbit who wears like an M. Bison Admiral's outfit.
Okay.
He does have a blonde human nerd. That as a pet, I guess.
Oh, good.
There's a duck, a troll, and a really disturbingly fuckable fox woman.
A troll. So they even capitalized on the Stone Guardians cash cow that was clearly doing so well for itself.
Yeah, exactly.
If you watched Stone Guardians as a kid, write us and let us know whether if you liked it. I guess as a step one. And what the hell was its deal?
Honestly, every single name of title that I just gave, we could do an episode on, and I'm sure they would all be ridiculous and hilarious. But today we are going to talk about Battletoads. So
very good.
Did you guys play Battletoads at all as young lads?
No, never. No. I've seen fragments of speedruns of it. Like I've seen at like SGDQ or ADGDQ, I've watched like 5 minutes and watched them like do one level. I know there's one level. I think it's like the speed bike level that's like notoriously fucky because it's like the Aladdin video game when you're riding the magic carpet where they're like, it's mostly just luck whether or not you get out of the way of these things.
It's like you're on a jet ski and you're going from left to right, and there'll be there's like three lanes. You're like top, bottom, and middle, and you have to be in the right lane, or you also can be jumping or not jumping. So there's six positions you can be in, but these basically concrete blockers come flying at you so quick. They'll flash once before appearing on the screen, but it gets faster and faster as you go. So by the end, like, it is guessing. And there's jumps you have to go over, but like some of the jumps are not on the ground, they're in the air. So you have to like jump to hit the jump.
To jump.
And if you don't hit the jump, then you fall in this cavern. Like it's hard. It looks hard.
I
never had to play it. My neighbor didn't have an NES. We had a Genesis over there. So I played it
on Genesis. Yeah, it was on Genesis as well. It was on NES first, but it came out on Genesis.
Oh, I
played it on Genesis, and I got to that infamous level that Ethan was talking about, and I never got past it in my two-day renting sprees.
I had an NES as a kid. And I feel like I played three games, which was Donkey Kong Country, Mega Man X, and A Link to the Past.
Donkey Kong Country was also made by the media franchise Rare.
Is Battletoads a Rare game?
It is a Rare game.
Wow, that's unbelievable. Yeah. So Rare was like the king of good video games in like the early 90s.
Well, yeah, they started as a different company in the UK. It's like Ultimate. Do I have it here? It's like Ultimate Game something. I wish I wrote it down. But they started making all these games for the Famicom in the UK. Okay. And then that was made by Nintendo, right? So whenever they released the NES, these Rare people already knew the ins and outs of the way their systems work.
Yeah.
So they said, hey, Rare, you can make us a bunch of Nintendo games and we'll give you unlimited budget. So you know how to make games better than we do on our own system right now. So please make them.
And that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
That's such like an un-Nintendo thing to do when you look at Nintendo in 2020 as well, to like outsource stuff. They're like so protective of their IPs and their consoles and everything.
Yep.
Having some guy named Mario arrested for copyright infringement. Yeah.
Well, to be fair, he was talking to a girl named Peach and he was riding around in a go-kart throwing bananas at people. So, you know, it's kind of it's not so cut and dry, Pete.
So, yeah, they started up with Rare, made this game in 1991, and it starred three anthropomorphic toads named after skin conditions. So it's Rash, Zits, and Pimple.
Okay.
Awful. Yeah. Zit and Pimple are the same skin condition.
They're true? Yeah. True.
Acne. Right.
I think a pimple needs a water spout.
Yeah.
Or else it's a grotesque zit. Yeah. The series was created to rival TMNT. They just wanted to capture that Saturday morning cartoon feel and get a bunch of money for it.
Yeah.
It's in the same vein as Earthworm Jim, one of my last episodes, actually.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'd agree. I'd put them on the same area. Even the infamous level that's super hard to do made me think of the weird cutscene levels that are super hard in Earthworm Jim and Earthworm Jim 2, like where the catching puppies and everything.
Totally.
Similar style.
A lot of mini games in between levels too. Like even though it's a beat 'em up, it really strays from being a beat 'em up a lot of the time. Much like Earthworm Jim's a platformer, but really isn't a platformer all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the lore starts outside the game. The game was released in 1991, but the lore was retconned in via the Nintendo Power magazine.
Okay.
Okay. Interesting.
So, like, when we start the game, we're in a spaceship flying through, or not even a spaceship, it's like a red sports car flying through space.
Sure.
And we're the Battletoads already.
A space car, if you will, not a spaceship.
Yeah, it's a space car. Yeah, it looks just like a red sports car.
Oh, speaking of a language thing, I was for some reason on YouTube and it was just like recommending me like 10-minute documentary videos of the Titanic. I found out why it's called the poop deck.
Okay.
Tell us.
Do tell.
It's an anglicized version of la poop, which is French for the aft section of the ship.
There you go. Classic.
There you go. So is there a poop deck on this
space car?
On their Corvette?
Yeah.
That could be. That's we're gonna get to that point, but first we're gonna do the Nintendo Power beginning of Emperor's New Groove and go back to the beginning.
I love. Okay. I do love. Can I just say that Elon Musk wasn't even creative enough to beat to one up Battletoads with this? You know, like just car in space. That was his like big publicity stunt. Like Battletoads already did it. You know.
He probably took it from Battletoads, knowing him.
Yeah. Exactly.
So our story begins at a big tech company, and it's not Tesla.
Oh, no.
it's the tech company Edison.
It's called Psycone, PSICONE.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like Psycho and, from Earthworm Jim.
Yeah, but this one's about air pressure.
And working for this tech company, we have three friends. And they're VR game testers, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, in the 90s, very bold.
Yeah.
Morgan, Dave, and George. I know people like this even today.
Uh-huh. Morgan, Dave, and George.
Very normal dudes. Real normal dudes.
How radical are they?
Oh, they're pretty rad. Everybody loves them.
Okay.
Because they're working on the latest VR title, Battletoads.
Oh, nice. Good for them.
Okay. Yeah. So a chief programmer at Psycone named Silas Volkmir has a growing hatred for these three boys. And Silas, he looks like kind of like Snape from Harry Potter, but like a greasier, pointier version.
Okay.
Okay, like a cartoon, like a political cartoon version of Snape from Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Where he's exaggerated features.
Yeah, he's got like long greasy hair in a lab coat with like this pointy nose and like pretty thin and like chiseled face.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Clearly an evil guy.
Yeah, he's evil.
Also a German sounding name, so.
Yeah.
Dead giveaway.
Yeah, in this universe, I guess QA testers are really popular and loved by fans of the games.
Well, that's true in every universe, James. I don't know why you're implying that it wouldn't be.
You mean opposed to ridiculed and blamed for all the game's problems?
No. See, people understand that developers sometimes choose not to fix stuff that QA finds. Everybody in the internet knows that and understands that. That's not something QA testers ever run into.
Yeah. In this universe, they're allowed to publicly speak about the games before they're released, I think. They're allowed to, they're just like loved by the public. Like testing, I guess in 1990s, Nintendo envisioned VR testers to be like the cool kids.
In a world without non-disclosure agreements, three kids are setting the stage for a futuristic invasion from a space car.
So they're so popular and loved by everyone that the chief programmer, Silas, the evil Snape dude, he starts to plot against them because he's jealous of them.
Okay.
Naturally. Is he their boss or a coworker?
He works at Psycone and he's a chief programmer. I don't know if he's a chief programmer of Battletoads, but I would suspect he is just because of like how he tries to thwart them.
So I don't know how Rare was structured in the early 1990s too. I can't imagine they were a huge organization, but like nowadays too, QA would be separate from programming. Like you'd have dev QA, which would be people who work directly with programmers, but something like I do is just like straight pure QA. So we answer to our QA bosses and our job is to find bugs and not listen to programmers when they complain about how something's not a bug, right?
Yep. So chief programmer Silas is jealous, so he strikes a deal with the buxom Dark Queen. She's gonna be the bad girl of the whole series.
Okay
Yeah. Lyness.
And that's just her name, Dark Queen.
Yeah, Dark Queen. She's like wears like really tight leather but not too much of it. She's kind of scantily clad, like
very woman in a video game in the 90s vibes.
Yeah, like, and she's kind of evil.
Okay, yeah.
I think she has like dark hair as well. She's a dark queen. She's into the powers of darkness.
Sure. Are we all? Yeah.
And does she work for the company? Did they hire?
Yeah.
They hired three radical dudes, some nerd, and then a sorceress.
Yeah, this is Doris from HR. That's Pete. He's in finance. This is Dark Queen. She handles magic and sorcery department, I believe. You just got a promotion, didn't you, Dark Queen?
So she's actually a space conqueror from a parallel universe that can only be accessed through VR technology.
Okay. Very specific.
So the chief programmer basically goes, like, sends her after the boys in the game. Because whenever they're in the game, they get to be the Battletoads.
This is the big titty vampire waifu from Resident Evil 8 in VR, right? That's what we're talking about?
Yes, that's what I was thinking of. I was thinking of her. She's the Dark Queen Dommy Mommy. So one evening, Morgan, Dave, and George sneak into Psycone to go into Battletoads VR.
Hey guys, do you want to do something super cool? Do you want to break into work and do unpaid overtime?
Yeah, bro.
Yeah. I had that written down too.
Oh, really?
What person is sneaking into their place of work?
Well, you guys clearly just don't know the lifestyle of VR games testers, I gotta say.
Yeah.
It's just as luxurious, just as glamorous as it sounds, let me tell you.
Yeah, and I guess 1991 Nintendo had a different take on what it is to be a game tester, but Ethan says that that's right. So, So this time, instead of playing the game, Morgan, Dave, and George are zapped into the parallel universe into the form of Zitz, Rash, and Pimple, but like permanently. They're just the Battletoads now. It's not like they can take their headset off. They are the Battletoads.
They anamorphed for too long and are stuck as Animorph now.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
If you stay in VR chat for too long, you will turn into an anime waifu.
Yeah, that happens. That's why all the games say, like, oh, remember to take a break, take off the headset every now and then, you know, drink some water. That's because you'll not because you might get motion sick. It's because you run the risk of transforming permanently into whatever avatar you're playing as at the time.
Yep. Now, you know, Jamie, I don't know if this is like at the beginning of the game or whatever. Are they like in their chairs with the helmets on and their souls are gone? Or is it just like three VR headsets sitting on the ground with like the eye sockets steaming?
Did they get Jumanji'd or did they get killed and now they're in the afterlife? Yes.
Yeah. So I couldn't actually find the Nintendo Power article. I was looking it up. Okay. But I did find like sources to it. So all I know is that they went into VR. Maybe they're still sitting there. And the chief programmer has them like wheeled away or something like that. I don't know.
Okay.
But, it's whatever we want it to be, really.
I was going to say Loreboy's canon. I'm going to go with the Jumanji option.
Yeah, I vote Jumanji too.
Like what? In the morning when everybody else comes in for their regular shift, they're going to have like three guys passed out connected to their goggles.
Three dead bodies like in their chairs. Yeah. Forever changed the landscape of games testing, and they decided to no longer overwork their employees.
Yes. Three deaths of the 90s.
The CEO came out and announced, no more crunch.
Yeah. Psycone employees found dead. They croaked.
Oh.
Yeah. But they were super popular, and now they're just gone, I guess.
Okay.
So they're dropped
murders and like twice as popular.
Maybe
martyrs to the VRQA cause. I like it.
Yeah, that'll do. Yeah. So now we're only going to really refer to them in their toad form from here on out. Their real bodies, we're not sure what happened to them. Yeah. So the toads are dropped onto a planet where they're surrounded by the Dark Queen's forces. There's a cybernetic monster. There's like this huge obese rat. There's like a bunch of these pig creatures, and they're all surrounded. And the Battletoads are about to be overrun. They didn't seem to stand a chance. But just before they fell to the Queen's forces, they're rescued by Professor T. Bird.
Oh, the car. Were they driving a T. Bird in space?
Thunderbird.
It's T. Bird is like, I don't know what he is, if he's like a vulture or like an eagle. I'm not good at my birds, but he's a bird.
Not good at my birds. How many birds can you name? All great questions. Crow. Raven,
bluebird, redbird,
owl. I love how we've only named corvid so far. sparrow, titmouse,
emu,
swallow.
I'm pretty sure there's one called the great tit.
Great there's tit, the blue-footed booby.
Kingfisher, penguin. We already mentioned that one.
Oh yeah.
By extension, the puffin.
Chicken, turkey, the edible ones.
Chicken, turkey. Yeah, they're all edible, I think. But
quail.
Quail, pheasant, yeah.
Professor T. Bird, for the record here, looks kind of like Foghorn Leghorn if you were a gym teacher. He's like a...
Say, why don't you give me a 20 laps there, student?
Is he a chicken?
Yeah, he is. He looks like he's a rooster. He's got a whistle and a stopwatch.
All right, so that's Professor T. Bird.
Jamie, you say you didn't know your birds, but you couldn't identify a chicken?
Look at all of them. Finish the sentence.
If I'm being honest, I wrote this episode pretty quickly, and I didn't take the time to mentally note what bird.
Fair, okay, fair.
Yeah. So the Dark Queen. This is actually T-Bird was her former lover, and now her enemy.
Yeah. They broke up because she just couldn't be with a gym teacher as a powerful sorceress.
Yeah, I mean, frankly, even if she was like, if she was working part-time, I think it would still be embarrassing to be with a gym teacher.
Well, he gets the summers off, at least. That's pretty cool.
That is nice.
They all do.
Yeah. So they've had a falling out. T-Bird now saves the toads from the Queen's forces and jets off into space in their spaceship.
Sorry about my bitch ex, guys. It's like, that was a weird thing to put in an NES game in the 90s.
Yeah, yeah. Where are you taking us? Come on, kids, hop into my car. I know you're lost in a strange place. Let me tell you about my horrible wife.
Yeah, I'm a gym teacher. You can trust me.
This is all Nintendo Power still. Like, none of this is in the game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, none of this is in the game.
No, I'll let you know when we get to the game. But,
okay, sure.
Yeah. This is canon, like from Nintendo, but we don't see it happen.
Sure, okay. Yeah. Best way to tell a story is to wait 3 months and then release it in a separate magazine that you have to pay for on its own.
Yes. Yeah. But once you find out the game's popular, then you can spend the time to make lore for it.
Yeah, exactly. That's why we only talk about popular things on this show, right?
Oh, yeah. Like the 1991 game Battletoads.
Yeah, Battletoads. I mean, it's so hot right now.
It's relevant because of GameStonks. Because the ancient meme is to call GameStop and ask for Battletoads.
That's true.
But now Bill Bro Swaggin 69 is the third richest man on Earth.
Yeah.
Now we can finally buy Battletoads in retail.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk about this. 4chan started this meme way back when, where they would call pawn shops. And even the one that's on Pawn Stars, I don't know the name of the pawn shop, but all these 4chan people would call and ask for, do you have Battletoads? Do you have Battletoads on Wii? Do you have Battletoads? And it was just a meme that if someone called you and asked for Battletoads, it was like asking if your fridge was running.
Yeah.
Do you have Battletoads?
You do? Well, you better go catch it.
Yeah.
In my 3 years of TV games GameStop, I sadly never got a Battletoads call.
Yeah. I'll pity call you after this episode. Ask you if you got Battletoads, Pete.
Okay. Then it evolved past 4chan and more people started getting into it. And GameStop is relevant right now because Wall Street Bets on Reddit is breaking the stock market. If any of you are listening this far in the future and don't know why GameStop's relevant.
Yeah, yeah, if you want to know why you're boiling your water and don't have any electricity, it's because currently GameStop Bets is ruining the stock market.
Or making it better. Who knows? Who's to tell?
Who knows? Exactly. I don't bet on things, so I that's why I missed out on all that.
I'm willing to bet that ruining the whatever game the rich people, the hedge fund managers are playing, will be net good for the common man.
I think so.
I'm just gonna go out on a limb and bet that, knowing absolutely nothing about the stock market.
Yeah. So a bunch of internet people who didn't know much about anything also started calling GameStop and asking if they have Battletoads on Wii. Then it started to like evolve past it and get weird, cringy stuff from online, like asking if there's any homosexual content in the game because they don't want their kids to see it and stuff like that. So the meme just got ruined by awful internet people eventually.
Well, I mean, it always does.
Yeah, I mean, if you're born of 4chan, you will die of 4chan. That's kind of how that goes.
Yeah. Anyways, that happened. The Internet Historian has a great piece on it. It's like a 5-minute YouTube video that goes into it all. And they faked a movie that was going to come out and put like these awful 3D renditions of the Battletoads that were going to be played by it was going to be played by Bill Cosby, Will Smith, and Samuel L. Jackson will play each of the Toads.
Okay. Oh my god.
That's
and there's like this 3D animation of the biggest toad turning around and doing like this flex and like the gross toad skin. Oh my god, it's great. Yeah. Hey, Battletoads kind of a meme, but the game was really good. Yeah. So we're still we're at the part where T-Bird saves the toads from the queen after they got into the VR parallel universe for good. So in return for being saved, they agree to help T-Bird protect the galaxy indefinitely.
Okay. That's interesting. That doesn't seem like a good deal.
That seems like they got kind of hosed there, but...
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. He seems like he's taking advantage of these lost boys.
Yeah, I wrote a note here, too. Like, they're really settling into getting lost in a VR parallel universe because they're just like, yeah, we'll help you protect this galaxy. Like, they're not even looking to try and get home. They're just happy with being the Battletoads, I guess.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're radical enough dudes that they probably didn't have a care in the world, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they've been testing it long enough that they probably know the stakes, too. Just what the Dark Queen would do, right?
Sometime in their journeys before the game starts, they meet Princess Angelica. She's like the Princess Peach. She's a blonde princess. And she's like the female lead in the game. She's going to get stolen by the bad guy pretty quickly, and the whole point is going to be
she'll be in another castle. And...
Yeah.
It'll be a big thing. And then, you know, you'll invite her to your to the party that you're having years later, and she'll invite the bad guy for some reason. You'll be like, that's fucking weird. Why'd you bring him? You know, and then you'll try and go kart racing with your friends, and he'll show up, and she'll be like, no, it's cool. He's okay. You know, and you'll be like, what the hell? He like kidnapped you and I had to save you. Anyway, yeah. It's a yeah. big thing. I have some complexes from Princess Peach, let me just say.
The Dark Queen kidnapper, yeah. Yeah, Angelica's pretty basic looking. She's not like a super sexy, like scantily clad princess. She's very modest.
Yeah. I'd be going after the Dark Queen before Princess Angelica, but that's just me.
Hondo P. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So this is where the 1991 game begins. We know that the kids were in a VR universe. The evil German scientist made them stay in it forever. Dark Queen tried to kill them in their VR forms. They get saved by T-Bird. And you get to know Angelica. And the game starts with Pimple and Princess Angelica driving through space in a red sports car. And this is the opening cutscene.
Nice.
Yeah. She chose him, like one of them is dating her, and then he's like, oh, bros, my babe just got zonked by the Dark Queen. We gotta ride skidoos through the air. Come on, let's go.
It was an escort mission, so they're just bringing her to wherever she needs to go.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
The Pimple definitely looks very happy to be in the same car with her.
Probably smells very nice. She's a princess. She has very expensive shampoo.
Yep, and the top's not down because they'll be turned inside out, so she's
and
definitely
her eyes in oil, of course. Yeah. leave the top down on your soft top convertible in outer space. It's totally safe.
So Pimple and Angelica, they're flying through, and then a giant spaceship sneaks up behind them with like a face on the front of it, and the mouth opens up and grabs the sports car. And it captures Pimple and Angelica. It's the Vore boys now.
Okay.
Nice.
We're going to see a giant spaceship eat them.
Good.
Yeah.
That's what we love to see here on the Vore Boys podcast, is things eating other things.
So they're not injured. They're just captured by the Dark Queen. So now it's up to Zitz and Rash to travel to the planet Ragnarok and defeat the evil Dark Queen to save Pimple and Princess Angelica. Okay.
So now they're invested. They're like... Okay, bro, we'll go save your girlfriend. We know she got kidnapped by a dark sorceress. That's weird. We'll try and help out. But they were never really invested. And now they're boy. Now Pimples has been got. So now they're like, okay, well, now we really got to step it up and once and for all beat this queen.
Yeah. So this is the start of the level tour. Something I wanted to mention, like how we were talking about if it was relevant anymore, there was a 2020 release of Battletoads.
Yeah.
And a completely new game.
Yeah, I had heard about that.
Yeah. We're going to talk a little bit about it at the end, but it exists and it looks kind of cool. And it's a 3-player beat 'em up, so all three of us could be a Battletoad.
Ooh, damn. Yeah. Battletoad boys.
Yeah. Which one would you want to be?
Zit.
Yeah, I was going to say Rash, actually.
Oh,
I
think nice. Zit and Pimple,
I think
me
Zit
and James.
Is the leader. I think Pimple's the biggest one, which is, I think I'm the biggest one out of the three of us right now. And and then I think the fastest one is the one that I didn't say
Rash.
Yet. Rash.
I'm the speedy toad.
Yeah.
I would have thought that Zit was the fastest one because it sounds so close to Zip, along. Yeah. But maybe he runs so fast that the air friction gives him a rash.
Yes. Yeah, I think Zit's the leader, so he's like got the strength of Pimple, or almost the strength of Pimple, but also almost the speed of Zit.
Okay,
so, or of Rash.
Rash,
just like I'm the leader of the Lore Boys. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, you started it,
and I'm weak to aloe vera.
No, right? You started it.
Yeah. Boys, you both started it. Okay, it's the big half.
So the first level is Ragnarok's Canyon. You finally land on the planet, and you're going to look for your boy and your girl.
Oh, wait, they were both kidnapped? You don't get to choose out of the three toads?
Well, there's two toads that you can play as, either Zitz or Rash, and I think you can play two-player.
Yeah, I think it's a two-player co-op situation.
For sure you can in the Genesis. I'm not sure about the original release on the
original SNES.
Cool. Yeah. The pure. So this first... Ragnarok's Canyon. You're just like in a canyon. There's like rocks behind you, and it's a pure beat 'em up level. And it's the only pure beat 'em up level of the game. It's just to get your bearings and learn the controls.
Get your bearings by never being repeated ever again. Yeah, here, learn this and then forget it.
Yeah, it's like the most basic, I guess, like mechanics of the game. It's like you're gonna fight things throughout the game, so they just give you a pure fighty level right off the beginning.
It's like Double Dragon or any beat 'em up, or my personal favorite on the NES, Godzilla, which was fucking bad, but I loved it.
So Double Dragon actually had a crossover with this, with Battletoads.
Oh yeah.
And there's a game where they inserted the Double Dragon's characters into basically what is just a Battletoads game. And
it's okay. And Bimmy in that one, isn't it?
Rare had full creative control, and Double Dragon could say nothing about what was done with their characters. So it's an interesting game. Definitely worth checking out.
Yeah. I love Nintendo just giving fucking the Rare, this like random studio in the UK, carte blanche to do whatever the fuck they want with other people's IP. Because they're like, we're Nintendo, fuck you. People are going to have to put up with what we say. You fucking remake his game for him, okay? Just like, sure thing, boss. And the other guy's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Here's the seal of approval sticker. Just lick it once and stick it on the cover. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, exactly.
I was watching some gameplay there, and it looks good. It looks like a lot more pure beat 'em up, like just moving from left to right through levels and fighting stuff and trying not to lose your own life.
Mm-hmm. No C-dos?
No, not as far as I could tell. So you fight some psycho pigs and some robots. In Ragnarok's Canyon, something that's interesting decision for the boss battle is you come up on this giant robot that doesn't even show up on the screen completely, and the whole fight is fought through the eyes of the boss, the POV from the boss. So it looks like an FPS. There's like a target in the middle of the screen, and you can see yourself through the eyes of the boss, and you have to run and dodge the bullets as they're being shot at you.
Oh, cool.
Neat.
And then whenever the bullets sometimes hit the wall, they'll fall on the ground. You can pick them up and throw them at the boss. So you see it like throwing at the screen.
Yeah. Good thing it's avant-garde for the 90s. That's neat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they made it today, if they made a Battletoads 2020, hypothetically, if they did that, they could do it in 3D and it'd make you jump every time you threw a bullet at your own face.
True.
Yeah. Very
scary.
Your
paddle ball, that's your weapon of choice, which comes to the screen.
I'm a little disappointed there's no Battletoads VR, especially with the lore, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with the lore, man. That's crazy. Yeah.
I want to go in there so that Dommy Mommy can whip me into shape.
Now, if you had Battletoads VR, would you be playing one of the lads or one of the toads, technically?
You're playing as a toad, but technically you are one of the lads, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
I'm always one of the lads. I mean,
lads.
Yeah, exactly, like that.
Yeah, that's how men behave, right? As far as I recall,
as far as I know, as far as I'm told.
Next up, the lads fall down the Wookiee hole.
Okay. Pardon? Like the Star Wars IP Wookiee?
The level is called the Wookiee hole. Yeah.
Damn, I don't know how they got away with that.
Like that at all.
Yeah, so it's like a huge hole, and it kind of like seems flesh colored on either side.
That's awful.
Yeah, and go ahead.
I was gonna say, just because of like the popularity of Star Wars at this time, like the movies, the original movies came out in the 70s, and then the prequels came out in like the late 90s. So this is in that intermediate period where George Lucas was probably too busy at his ranch writing weird crap. Like pay attention to what Nintendo was doing, unless you can't trademark Wookiee.
Yeah, I'm looking. It doesn't seem to have any resemblance. It doesn't, in the wiki page for the level, it doesn't even mention Star Wars. It looks like kind of scaly more than fleshy. I misremembered as you're going down. Does Wookiee mean anything? I have no idea.
Yeah, it's the big hairy guy in Star Wars.
Oh, well, I know that.
Chewie? It's that's what it means.
Okay. All right. That helps. So the whole concept of this is you're rappelling down with turbo cables, and you have to fight things and like kick them out of the air as you're rappelling down this giant hole. Anytime you run into an enemy, the like you don't fall as fast, and you have to fight the enemy with your frog feet, toad feet.
Yeah, not frog feet.
They're completely different, Jamie.
So up until this point, everyone who's playing the game is having fun. And then level 3 happens. And it's called the Turbo Tunnel. This is the level we were talking about at the beginning of the episode. So there's 6 positions you can be. They're coming at you so fast that you're not sure where you should be. They'll throw random curveballs at you, like having to jump at the very last second to hit a jump that's in the middle of the air to clear this much bigger jump. I never beat it. And by the way, if you want to play this, there's a rare package on the Xbox, and you can get a bunch of games, including this one, and try it yourself.
Yeah, or you too can get stuck on this level.
Yeah, or pirate it. Who cares?
I do not condone it.
We're not cops, but
yeah. And apparently there's an achievement in the game called "Do you guys have Battletoads?" because of that whole meme thing that happened.
Is that where you can prove to Xbox that you've harassed a GameStop employee?
Yeah, made a GameStop employee cry. Yeah.
So if you made it through your own tears to get through that crazy level, where you have to basically predict things before they happen.
This is where they separate the boys from the men, basically, is this level. Is the turbo tunnel? Is it turbo tunnel or turbo tube?
Turbo tunnel.
Yeah, boys from the men, or like stubborn people who are not willing to give up on a video game even though it's bad, versus the sane people who want to go outside and play soccer with their friends.
Yeah. I was watching it, and like, it seems doable for the first bit. It's like really the last bit that it just is too much.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can memorize it or what, or if it's random, but I think it's random from the speedrunning stuff, right?
Yeah, that was the impression that I'd got, was that it was random. But again, I've never really watched any significant amount of time played on that. I think I've watched that for like 20 seconds, somebody doing that maybe. But yeah.
It telegraphs, like it flashes before it shows up on the screen, but at a certain point you're just moving so fast that it doesn't even matter, but yeah. Anyways, if you made it through that, you get to play another fun level, which is the ice level, Arctic Caverns.
Okay.
Always video game cancer.
Yeah. Everybody loves ice levels, that's for sure.
So there's platforming on ice. There's like a little bit of puzzly stuff where you'd have to like escort this ice cube all the way down to the bottom of a slope.
Oh, with an escort mission.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good.
Why do you have to escort the ice cube?
To knock it through like these barriers. These barriers that can only break by throwing other ice at it.
Okay.
So, like, it's not so long that you have to go like on a 3-minute escort, but you might have to jump up a few ledges and get it to the right place. Kind
gotcha.
Of thing.
Leon! And you put the ice cube in. And it's just
the villagers are all trying to kill her. And
yeah. You gotta fight ice with ice, like that old saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The next
wildfires in the Arctic, they just like spray ice all over the ground, you know?
Next up is Surf City. You have to do another turbo cables thing while you're descending through the screen. It's a lot like the jet ski level too, because after you've gone all the way down, you now have to go across like this water where you're on like a leaf flat. What's it called? Those little frog leaf.
A lily pad.
Oh, lily pad. Lily pad. Yeah.
Yeah.
A frog leaf thing. You know what I'm talking about. The frog leaf thing. You saying frog leaf thing. I mean, I got to think most people would get lily pad, right? Like,
yeah. Definitely.
And it's funny, and I don't know why I have this random memory of you, but I remember, Jamie, I had introduced you to somebody one time, and they always brought this up with me, where they would say, "Oh, Jamie, he's the guy that the first time I met him was said, what's that animal that ribbits?"
Oh, yeah. I remember that night.
Yeah.
That was
good.
Yeah.
Just very relevant to this episode too.
Yeah.
This is his redemption. He's like, now I know who rivets.
Don't remember what they sit on in the pond, but do remember what they rivet.
That was quite a few years ago. I'm glad not too much has changed.
I don't know much about what frogs do.
Yeah. Frogs, what are they up to?
Can we trust them?
Yeah. They live on water and in land?
In
water and on land? Untrustworthy, if you ask me. How could they be on both sides of the divide?
Pick a side.
Yeah. Pick a side.
Yeah. So you're on a lily pad and you have to dodge logs and whirlpools instead of cement dividers and hit jumps. So
okay.
Same type.
Like that Crash Bandicoot level.
Yeah. Next up is a really hard platforming level. It's called Carnat's Lair. And the gimmick is you're on a snake that like moves across the platformer, but it also can like go up, down, or like double back on itself. Mm-hmm. And if you're standing completely still on it, you're still moving. So if you move while it's moving, like your velocity is kind of like mixed up. So
okay.
It's hard to judge when you're jumping and things like that.
It's always these kind of levels. It's always one or the other, right? Either like your character doesn't move, and if you stand still too long, the snake will just like leave without you. Or yeah. Like you say, it's like you move with it and then you're like, you're not moving actually when you run backwards on the snake.
Yeah.
Or you're moving at twice the speed when you run forward.
This reminded me of Mario Maker. There's a lot of Mario Makers that are like levels that are similar to this, where you're like on a track, like moving across.
And all the hot Mario Maker Twitch streamers all hate the snake. They hate the snake blocks. They say it's bad platforming, bad mechanics. So.
Yeah, well, this is exactly that, and it's really hard.
Imagine that, but vastly worse.
Yeah.
And they just like keep adding more and more spikes as the level goes on. Like at the beginning, you can kind of like fall on the floor and jump back up on the snake, but eventually, like everything's covered in spikes, so all you can do is just be on the snake and have to know which way it's going to turn ahead of time. Next up is Volkmir's Inferno.
Okay,
not like the guy. What?
The previous level with the snake was somebody's lair. Is there a boss fight?
Karnath's lair, I believe.
Yeah, there is a boss fight.
I assume there's just some random goon, you know?
Monster.
Yeah, some lieutenant in the Dark Queen's army.
There hasn't been a boss fight. I actually have a column here. I have a little table if there's a boss or not. There was a boss in stage one, Boss Walker. That's like the FPS thing that you're seeing from its point of view.
You've heard of hot or not lists. Now it's time for boss or not lists.
Jamie's the next Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
And this gets out of hand.
Yeah. Boss book.
And the lily pad ribbit level, there's a boss called Big Blag, which I didn't look up what he does. But there is not one in Carnath's lair.
Carnath,
I guess.
Yeah, mysteriously vacant.
Maybe it's just the snake you're riding around on. Who knows?
Yeah. Maybe the snake is Carnath. And he's just showing you around his place. He's like, so this is my collection of spikes.
So next up is a turbo jet level. It's like a flying side scroller. And you can go like all the way to the top of the screen. It's more a 2D plane instead of an oblique plane where you're kind of stuck to the ground before.
Okay.
Now you can go all the way up and down.
I thought you were in an airplane this time because you did Skidoo, you did lily pad, and now you've done airplane. So you've done land, water, and air. So you've covered all your bases.
Yeah. Oh, this is basically airplane. Yeah, you're flying.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's like a jetpack type thing. But there's vertical lines of electricity with a small gap in each one of them. And they're flying towards you at the screen.
Okay.
Classic.
So you kind of stay towards the middle of the screen to give yourself the best reaction time and try and hit those holes.
It's ripping off Flappy Bird, is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
More or less, yeah. It looks really hard. It gets faster and faster. Like, it looks manageable at the beginning, but by the end and with the janky controls, you're probably going to die.
The NES controller, I can't imagine, is the best way for precise movement.
Yep.
I'm a great gamer, guys. I'm a capital G gamer. I think I'd be all right.
You did kick the shit out of Hollow Knight recently, so that's impressive.
Yeah,
it wasn't that.
Steel Soul. You beat the whole game without dying.
It wasn't as hard as Battletoads, I'll tell you that. having never played it, I know I would not be as good at Battletoads. Because Hollow Knight controls make sense and feel really fluid and good. I'm sure Battletoads, the controls do not.
Yeah, well, Battletoads predate human hands, so that's why they're always...
Hey, yeah.
Old games are difficult to control, though.
That explains the N64 controller, then. They didn't have human hands yet.
So if flying in an airplane with electricity speeding towards you wasn't enough, the next level is called Intruder Excluder, and it's a vertical climb. But you can't go back down. Like, as the camera pans up, it will never go back down. So if you go down below the camera, you just die.
Okay.
And it's platforming, jumping up. There's enemies along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then next up is the longest level in the game, called Terra Tubes. First, you have a section with a helicopter where you're ascending, and you have to dodge the spikes.
Now, sorry, just real quick. Could you repeat the name of the level?
Terra Tubes.
Okay, is that Terra like pterodactyl or Terra like Earth?
Like Earth.
Okay.
Oh.
Gotcha, yeah. Gotcha. Because I thought you said terror tubes, and then I was like, I'm not sure if he means that. And then you said helicopter. I was like, well, that's not very scary. I was picturing like a Halloween level in my head.
I think it's like you go underground at a certain point.
Okay. Makes sense.
You've done two rappelling levels down, so now you're on your way back up.
Yeah, I know, like, you either go up at the beginning, then down at the end, or down at the beginning and up at the end, because it starts with a helicopter, and then it finishes with a helicopter.
Gotcha.
So you start with a helicopter, dodge the spikes. Then you have to outrun the crazy cogs to the goals while dodging the obstacles in the way. Then you have to swim around a series of lethal spikes while dealing with electric eels, hammerfishes, and sharks. Then you have another... Then another crazy cog section, then another helicopter section, then you're done.
Gotcha.
Okay. Cross-country skiing, shooting, and then you move on.
Yeah.
Helicoptering, racing cogs.
The classic Iron Man. I mean,
yeah.
Sure.
Everything that finished people are famous for.
Yeah.
Swimming with the sharks. Easy. next up is Rat Race. And Mr. Bean is in this one.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Rowan Atkinson. Oh, good, yeah.
He plays the Transylvanian man, Enrico.
Yeah, the Transylvanian narcoleptic, if you remember the plot.
He's narcoleptic, yeah. He gets in a van with Newman, who's transporting a heart across the country.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
John Lovitz accidentally impersonates Hitler.
And gets shot at
by a World War II veteran.
So, kill, marry, fuck. Mr. Bean, John Lovitz, and Newman.
Mr. Bean.
Marry Mr. Bean. I think fuck John Lovitz and I guess kill Wayne Knight, which I'm not happy to do. Don't get me wrong. This is a tough one because they're all such lovable characters.
Right.
I'm the reverse of that. So marry Mr. Bean no matter what. Yeah. I love a man with a car.
That's a lock-in for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
The other two I could go either way, honestly.
Yeah, I'd probably kill John Lovitz and then marry Newman. Excuse me, and then fuck Newman, rather. I'm more of a fan of Jurassic Park than I am of The Critic. So that's
fair.
If you fuck Newman, you get to yell out his name, too. Which is
Newman!
And he's like, that's not...
Newman! Okay, so Rat Race doesn't actually have Mr. Bean, but it's the reverse of Intruder Excluder. Instead of climbing the whole time where the camera is always panning up, it's panning down the whole time.
Okay, and okay.
You're racing a giant rat named Scuzz to try and get to the bottom first.
Right. Hence the name. Rat. Race.
Oh.
Rat Race.
It's pretty deep, but I'm glad you get it.
Yeah, I mean...
Junkyard Man from Chrono Trigger.
There's a bomb at the bottom of this level, so if the rat gets there first, he sets off the bomb. If you get there first, you defuse the bomb. Terrorists win.
Oh, okay. Well, you're preventing his suicide, basically. Yeah.
Gotcha.
There's a boss named General Slaughter after that, which I didn't actually look up.
Is it General Slaughter, or is it the General's Laughter? Is he just laughing and you're trying to stop that? Or?
it's capital S, but I like the thought.
Dang. You gotta ask sometimes, you know? It's like the whole pterotube things. Could be pterodactyl tubes, who knows? And you're inside the fallopian tubes of a pterodactyl, you know?
The next one is called Clinger Winger.
That one makes me feel dirty and I don't know why. I don't like the sound.
Like toilet paper thing to your butt.
Okay, maybe, yeah.
Yeah. So the whole thing is you have to navigate this wall maze, which is kind of like puzzly, via these things called wingers. And there's a lot of like rectangular things that are bordered by walls all over the screens. And the wingers cling to these rectangles, and they can only go around the outside of other objects along the walls. So you have to hold on to these clingers and like get over one rectangle and jump to the next. And they only go in one direction. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand the mechanic you're talking about.
I don't. But I think we can move on. If Peter gets it, then I'm sure half our listeners get it.
So, yeah, imagine an empty space, and then there's shapes on these empty spaces. Let's say there's a triangle in one spot. Uh-huh. A winger can only stick to that triangle and go around that triangle.
Gotcha.
So you are jumping from these clingers that are on the objects to other clingers.
Oh,
other
I see. You can't actually stand on the squares. You have to jump from clinger to clinger.
Exactly.
Stairs. By stairs, I mean squares, of course.
Stairs, squares, triangles, and automobiles. Yeah. So next up is the Revolution. And this is a really cool level. This is the level right before the last fight. The idea of it is if there's a cylinder-shaped tower that wraps around itself, and it's almost pseudo-3D because these platforms look like they're traveling around the circular pillar, even though they're just like kind of passing in the middle where you are. So you always stay in the middle of the screen going up this tower, and it looks like they're revolving 360 around.
Huh.
Okay. For 1991, it was like pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Well, for the NES, I think it would be impressive to have any kind of like perspective change.
Yeah.
I feel like the launch title for the original Xbox, Fusion Frenzy, had a mini game similar to that.
Okay.
That game fucking rules.
I
just remember Geometry Wars.
Geometry Wars was also a great game.
Yeah.
I have it on Steam.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Dang. That was a hard one. So at the top of this revolution, where you finally make it up all this way, this tower, and the music's very good in this whole game, by the way, and it's very tense. Like, you feel the music's building as you're getting up the tower, and you have the final fight with the Dark Queen.
Oh.
She's like the scantily clad leather dummy mommy, and she pops up on the screen, and she can like fly, and the way that she spins really fast and then travels around the map. So the way that they kind of show that is they show her image, and then they show a flip version of her image. They showed a flip version of her image, and it speeds up until it adds like a tornado effect around her.
Sure.
And then she kind of like bounces. Yeah.
I looked her up. She looks, she's basically wearing like from what I can see, like a one piece black bathing suit with a cape.
Yeah. And she's got like stockings but like her thighs are still exposed because you need that.
Yeah, she's very like a cover of a Warrant album sort of thing. It's good. It's very 80s.
Yeah. So she spins around, and what you have to do is jump up and at the right time and kick her out of the sky. And once you do that, you beat the Dark Queen. And she says, "I thought dark was more powerful than light. How could you do this, Toads?" And you don't get any kind of closure where you like take off the headset and you go home to your parents. Like, it's just, yeah, you beat the Queen.
Darkness was more powerful than light. It's like, sorry, lady, you never thought of Toad. what the hell is she talking about? Like, since when did they represent the light?
It's a rock, paper, scissors. It's like the Fire Emblem weapon triangle where dark beats light, light beats Toad, but Toad beats dark.
I see.
Yeah. So that's Battletoads 1991. If you want to play it, you can on the Xbox. You can also, I think it might be on Steam now, but there also is Battletoads 2020, which I'll just do the quick blurb to tell you what it's about, because in case you're interested in the franchise, you might want to pick that one up. After being locked up in a fantasy simulator for 26 years, the Battletoads are no longer intergalactic heroes and have fallen into modern day obscurity. So they're still in the VR thing after 26 years.
It's very meta. So like, as though Battletoads takes place in the real world or parallel to the real world.
Yeah, some kind of alternate Earth. Earth 2.
Yeah. Terra Tube 2.
Terra Tube.
Yeah, so unable to settle down for a quiet, simple life, they set out once again to defeat their longtime nemesis, the Dark Queen. So she's back for some reason.
She's like, actually, on second thought, dark is stronger than light. I'm going to try again.
But when they confront the Queen, they find out that she's in a similar predicament as them, having also been trapped and losing her powers. So she's just kind of trapped and bored. It doesn't say that they lost their powers, but they're just kind of doing similar things.
Okay, she's just lashing out.
Yeah. So in the end, they decide to team up with her to take down an evil alien race called the Topians. who are responsible for trapping all of them, and now the current rulers of the galaxy. The Zootopians are like these big faces. They speak effeminately, and they always give notes like they are the head of a TV, like TV network. So like, okay. I like that, but what if we didn't say this and we had in this location instead? So they're just meant to be like evil corporate TV people.
Someone on the staff is a huge fan of RuPaul's Drag Race and was just like, what if we just did this for our 27-year revival of an ancient game?
Yeah.
Dressing up as a toad considered drag? I don't know, you know.
I mean, I've seen a couple episodes of that show. You could probably make some wild ass toad themed drag. Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah, so it looks pretty cool. It's a shorter game. The 2020
would be where RuPaul's fat rat costume. Sorry.
Yeah, you basically play. You get to play three players, so you and two of your friends. You can play Pimple, who is like the bigger, stronger one that hits slow but hits hard. You can play Zit, who is the leader in the middle. Or you can play Rash, who's super quick, like little punches.
Wait, when we meet the Dark Queen, did we rescue the princess and the other toad?
Yeah, you fly away happily ever after with the T-Bird.
Presume so.
Yeah. So this game, it looks like a Saturday morning cartoon. It's actually, it looks really good, like the animations and stuff. Apparently, some criticisms are the enemies are really similar. You either have close-up melee guy or rangy guy or guy you have to wait for a charge and then punch in the back of the head.
Okay. That's like most beat-em-ups, though. Like, how much variance do you get in your standard beat-em-up, right?
Yeah.
I say this as somebody who has next to no experience with beat-em-ups, and I've basically never played any, so.
Castle Crashers,
I've beaten, yeah. But that Castle Crashers is a great example. They're all pretty samey.
Yeah. Yeah, so this one looks fun. It's pretty short, like I said. But apparently it adds... there was a cartoon for Battletoads. It was like 30 minutes. They made one pilot, and it never really continued because it was awful.
I mean, it wasn't as good. Like, we can't all be stone guardians out here, okay? Like, some of us, you're going to get some stinkers. You're not all going to be diamonds, you know?
Yeah. Apparently this one did a good job of making it feel more like a cartoon that people liked. And okay. It's all voice acted. Every character has... voice acting and cool animation. That's so awesome.
It sounds to me like they put their focus in the right places for it, because yeah. Like I don't think you were ever going to make like the revolutionary Battletoad gameplay wise, right? Like,
yeah,
yep. It's been a meme, like every time Rare goes to announce something at a new Gamescom, apparently like up until they actually announce it, they're always like, Battletoads is going to be next, like just jokingly, but it finally happened in 2020.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's always Kinect Sports and never Battletoads. RIP, guys.
EA actually helped Rare with one of the remakes. I think it was, yeah. They remade the original game, but for PC, I think. So they were able to just do everything they wanted animation-wise and not be limited to the NES.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, well, no kidding.
Yeah, and back when EA was not such an evil force, they helped with all the animations.
They were once a good company when they made the original Sims, and then all that sports money got to them.
EA to original Sims. All right. Well, that's it for Battletoads, guys.
Cool. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you like the show, tell your friggin' friends, would ya? Thanks so much to everybody who has told their friends. Thanks so, so much to everybody who's left us a review. Everyone who continues to chat with us on the Discord. You can go to loreboys.com/about to find links to the Discord, links to our Instagram, links to our Twitter, links to our TeePublic where you can buy some merch. I got a surprise Christmas gift merch of my own show from my brother for a belated Christmas gift today. So if you want to get yourself some Loreboys stuff, go there. If you want to suggest some Loreboys merch, join the Discord and just tell Pete. He'll just add whatever custom art we make for the episodes to a t-shirt or whatever you want. I've been Ethan. Your host has been Jamie. With us is Peter. Peter, do you have anything you want to plug personally or professionally?
Nothing. No. Nothing new. You said Instagram. It's at Loreboys Podcast if you're following on mobile. And then, that's all from me.
Cool. Jamie, anything else?
JAYMILK. Jay Milk on Steam. Send me games and I'll play them.
Yeah, Jamie loves getting free games. We've always said that about him.
With his high socks.
If you don't want to give us free games but want to spend your money elsewhere, we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys. Thanks so much to all our patrons. Thanks so much to everybody who reaches out to us via email. We got an email from Caleb last weekend. Super lovely email. We're going to read it on air and address your questions. We will eventually get around to actually typing you back an answer and letting you know that. But maybe it'll be after this episode releases. Who knows? But yeah, thanks so much to everybody getting in touch with us. If you guys want to support us and you don't trust the institutions like Patreon, for example, or PayPal, you don't trust any of those, we have the good old-fashioned Lore Boys Prime, you know, and we've all been over here working on our alien holes, our Wookiee holes, or should I say non-denominational hairy alien holes, and polishing them up. So we've been digging holes, basically, and we want you guys to come check them out. We're having a contest. We're having a sweepstakes contest. The winner of this will win our collection of rectangles, stairs, squares, and triangles. Prize collection. We have the largest collection of shapes in the entire world. I don't know if you knew that. We're in the Guinness Book of World Records. And we're trying to have you people rate our holes. So we're going to post our holes on Instagram. Okay. whoever's hole gets the most likes will be able to give out various shapes to all the people who liked their picture, essentially.
We found that there's even a shape between a triangle and a square. I won't tell you what it is, but if you send us your holes,
we will tell you.
It's actually got 3.5 sides.
Yeah.
It's almost.
Yeah, you should see it. It's mind breaking, really. It's reality altering. You'll never look at anything the same ever again after seeing it. It's like a horror out of Lovecraft. Honestly, I wish it had never entered my life, that infernal shape. I guess that would constitute a Lore Boys.
Lore Boys.
Lore Boys.
Out.
Out.
Out. Think we should.
My name's Ethan. Welcome to the Lore Boys soundcheck. Happy to have you. Great to be here.
So we've all pooped in our own pants, but have you ever pooped in somebody else's pants?
Can't say I have. This is my contribution to the soundcheck. I might have a minivan soon, temporarily.
My mom bought me the pants that I pooped in as a child, so technically owned by her, if you know, primarily
who owned the children's clothes?
Yeah,
comrade,
the state.
I heard a funny concept in another podcast where an idea is when you die, you get to choose one other person that you make them shit their pants. So it's like a karma system that you have to be good to people your whole life, or else you'll just be shitting your pants all the time. Every time someone dies who doesn't like you,
I mean. You shit your pants a lot more when you're old, right? Like,
yeah, and famous.
How does it work? Let's say when my arch nemesis dies, and if I'm sitting on the toilet, does it like buffer that shit to when I put my pants back on?
Well, yeah, I see what you mean.
Or is it just like, is it like instant shit, or is it like pause buffer at the most inconvenient moment, like giving the convocation speech at my daughter's wedding?
I was thinking instant.
Okay.
Like just when it happens. So if you're giving a speech, okay, or maybe you're lying in bed or
making love.
Maybe you're taking a shower, so it's not that big a deal. You can just waffle stomp.
Yeah, just send it down. Yeah. Okay, so there's an element of luck to the karmic balance as well.
But famous people would get really a lot of shit in their pants just because of the
so
coverage.
Much, dude. So think much,
how
yeah.
Dehydrated they'd be.
Although that that might be net good for the world, because then like less people would be like inclined to just be like, I want attention, you know?
Yeah.
Like the people who are famous would maybe be it for better reasons rather than just being, I want attention kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah, but people still hate people no matter if they're famous. Like Gandhi was very famous for doing what I think is objective good, but people definitely hated him, so he'd be pooping his pants constantly.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was good in the people in the past were all shittier ways, right? Like,
Well, yes,
the bar exactly. was a lot lower when Gandhi was good. I don't think Gandhi was good by today's standards, really.
In context. Yeah. No, In context. I think he shared a bed with his cousin or something weird like
that. A lot of 13-year-old girls, he used to insist, slept with him. Yeah. You know,
so. Well, he was really nice, but if you did something nice for him, then his score would roll back into the negatives and he'd be super proud.
Right, right. And
then everybody on the map poops their pants.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody within the outside of the fog of war.
Yeah.
My name's Ethan. I just turned Pete down. Pete, what is your least looking forward to disease that you're going to catch in your life?
That I'm going to, or like, yeah, I'm that, looking
you're
at it.
That you're
going
to catch. Well, I mean, you're going to catch them all someday, right? Like any true Pokemon master would.
I hope so. Yeah. I really don't want a kidney stone. If that counts.
I've heard they suck.
Yeah. I don't like the colored diseases, so like gangrene or blue waffle, things like that.
Mm-hmm, oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Red death. I don't want to get typhoid, because look at what it did to that poor Mary girl. You know, she was a sweet girl. What is she remembered for? The typhoid.
Being a terrible employee. Yeah. That's not fair.
Same reason.
Her CP is ruined.
Same reason I don't plant apple trees. I don't want to end up like Johnny Appleseed, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, this what is disgusting, dude.
Well, I don't know why you two are just googling gangrene on the soundtrack.
I googled it and said it was horrible. Then Jamie was all fucking live leak on this, and he was like, "Oh, I get decapitated."
You're hot. Also, the mics are hot, but you are also hot, Jamie.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.